beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Verloc, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show. And I am your not-so-humble host, Herr Dr. von Verloc. I bid you welcome this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's podcast, Psionics Endgame. Well, I hope you don't mind if I simply speak plainly this evening. I'm going to tone down the theatrics a bit and just speak plainly to my audience. So without further ado, let us begin. Well, there are so many areas to cover. I will try to keep solid my message tonight. The Psionics Endgame. Before we dive into that, let me recap over some of the things I've said about artificial intelligence, new emerging technologies, and how psionics fits into all of this. So to explain, first of all, the concept of telemechanics, which is outlined and detailed in my book, The Wondrous Wheel, VPG-3, part of the Verloc Trio, the Metaphysics of Self-Mastery, the Miraculous Prayer Board, and the final book in that series, The Wondrous Wheel. Telemechanics is something that's been with me since I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. And I discovered it because I was a tinkerer. I would take apart the phone in the house, radios, and eventually I made my way to my father's television, which got me into a whole lot of trouble. But as I grew and the world of weird and the mysterious grew with me, you know, the paranormal was knocking on my door. I wasn't chasing after it. I turned around and decided to pursue the world of weird, because that's basically the same way we deal with things in school. If you're harassed by a bully, you turn around and you go after the bully and you show them who's boss. And that's essentially, you know, long story short, that's how I came into psionics. Began with the paranormal harassment and shaking my world around, and I turned around and I said, I'm going to face this, and then now I'm going to master it. So, at length, probably the biggest success I've ever had with telemechanics is where I placed my mind into 3 different gadgets. I had an iPad, I had a PC tablet, and an Android tablet. I think I also had an iPhone, but it was with those 3 devices I mentioned where I found I could look at the device and think at it and command the on-screen keyboard to pop up. I did this about 11, maybe 14 times at the most, and the talent sort of, you know, wears out after doing this a few days. I think there's something, maybe a disbelief kind of switch in the brain or in the subconscious mind that sort of cuts that off. That's why I have talked about this extensively in my club, about tackling the relationship between these small brain in the back of the head and the larger brain towards the front of the head, rather than really looking at the brain in the typical model of left brain versus right brain. It's more of a forward brain and backward brain model in my work. So when it comes to something like something remote, like a satellite system, that's incredibly difficult to project the mind out and make some kind of actual physical change, like bringing up an on-screen keyboard or making the electrons go in a direction opposite of what they're supposed to be going in. It's called micro psychokinesis, and that's the easier psychokinesis versus the macro psychokinesis, which would be moving objects with the mind or with the will. And when we're younger, we do have a significant amount of extra energy to work with. So when I speak to the public about using psionics, the will of the mind, to interface with technology that's out there, I'm not speaking about making actual physical changes to those technologies. So some people had contacted me and misunderstood what I was saying in my previous podcast about emerging technologies and artificial intelligence. I'm simply telling you where we can go by being creative. And don't forget, I'm going to get to the psionic endgame pretty soon. So here is how it ordinarily works, getting out of the area of telemechanics. Now we're going to talk about psionics and technology, how these two ride in parallel. All right, so maybe you don't have a lot of money to spend on a wishing machine or some of the really nice radionic boxes. I know there's one fella out of Greece who makes some really, really nice radionic boxes. I mean, they're beautiful. Beautiful. He even shows you what's under the hood, all the components. Well, if you can't afford these kinds of devices, it's not the end of the world. There's really only a few things that you need. One, and this is a real must, a handheld flashlight that you reserve as your psionic flashlight. That becomes your hand transmitter, aka your magic wand, so to speak. The energy from your hand, from your thoughts, is carried out by the light beam of that flashlight. The next thing you need is an analog radio. Why? Well, an analog radio is an electronic amplifier, and you have an antenna that you can work with. So let me walk you through that. In my club, I have videos and presentations that show you how to turn an analog radio into a real kick-ass radionics transmitter. But I'll brief over it right now. So you have an analog radio, and let's just say that you tuned in to, I don't know, coast-to-coast radio, AM. Well, that's AM, but let's say you wanted to tune into something on the FM so that you're making use of the antenna. And yes, I know they have satellite radios and other radios. I've had some of those myself that can use AM and other types of antennas. But, you know, ordinarily the average person is only going to fork out something like, you know, an analog radio with an FM antenna. And so you tune into your favorite rock station or hip-hop or techno or classical radio, country, western, whatever it is on the FM frequencies. All right, so now you have that station and the antenna, and that is amplifying whatever is being played over that radio station. Those who are more sensitive to these things can pick up all manner of stuff. Now let's say you plug in a pair of earbuds to the audio output of that radio, except that instead of earbuds on the end, you have already clipped off the earbuds and you attach some alligator clips to a sheet of foil or a copper plate, and that's going to be your magical witness sample or output. Or you can even plug that into various eloptic devices, and for those who don't understand, That means working with lenses and light as a carrier, or as an additional carrier to the radio wave carrier. So essentially what we would be doing is attempting to have our thoughts ride along the channel of radio waves, and those radio waves sort of move the thought along and amplify it. Now, of course, and listen carefully, thoughts travel much faster than radio waves. I mean, it's instant. A person sitting on planet Earth can contact another being in Alpha Centauri instantly if one is very practiced in the art of meditation. But it has been observed that electricity, light, various frequencies of it, and even in my work of working with sound, and in some other people's work working with sound, and my work of working with actual mechanics, kinetics, spinning amplifying patterns, and focusing a construct evolving out of or projecting out of that spinning pattern, and weaving together kinetic elements such as air and wind to exacerbate those forces into near real-time thought forms. These also work to help us amplify and direct thought. So, when new emerging technologies come out, these are opportunities for us to play and practice remotely with these machines as if they were our own. What holds people back is that you view these machines as separate from yourself. They're so distant. A satellite's far out there, and so on. But if you think about it, our ancient ancestors, going back to the teachings of Hermes and so on, our ancient wizards, witches, and magicians, and adepts. Hold on, I have to pause for a minute.
Okay, I found this on the web for Wizards Witches Invitation at the Apps. Check it out.
Hey Siri, be quiet.
Media volume set to 0%.
Sorry about that, folks. That was one of my AIs butting in, which is really odd because I didn't say, "Hey Siri." It's weird, right? Oh, right, there, I just said it. Never mind. All right. So getting back to what I was saying, our ancient ancestors of the occult, of mysticism, and the esoteric teachings, they understood that we could reach out to the stars, just as we can read the movement of constellations by measuring the equinox, you know, an imaginary line. So also could we interact with these external forces. I teach in my club a way to project our thoughts through the sun. I mean, think about it. The sun is projecting so much energy nonstop since long before we were on this planet, most likely. Sending your thoughts straight into the sun, knowing with your intent that the sun is projecting those thoughts right back in your direction and into outer space, is learning to take advantage of natural amplifying bodies in our solar system. Now, if the ancients could do that, is it so far-fetched to come to the understanding that, you know, satellites, telephone poles, just shining a flashlight at a telephone wire? I'm not telling you to touch the wire. You shine your flashlight up at it and will your spell to be cast. Is it so hard to understand that? Is it difficult to grasp what I'm talking about? I think another question people have is, well, has it ever worked? Hello, have you followed my projects? Have you seen my YouTube videos? Have you followed my tweets on Twitter before and after I say I'm going to do something or make a change in the world? Albeit some of my old accounts disappeared, and I tried to find stuff that I did where all these other tweets from old accounts are still there, except for the ones where I mention turning Super Typhoon Neoguri, or if I mention the disappearance of Flight 370 and that it wasn't in the Indian Ocean. Yeah, those things just mysteriously and miraculously disappear. But I have many new things that I've worked on. And many successes. You see, when things go wrong, people do contact me. They don't contact their good friends in the media and say, hey, I need magical aid to move my items from here to there with no weather problems and smooth travel quickly and affordably. No, they ask me. It's all private. Privately done. I mean, these are things that work, that I do, and I'm sharing this knowledge with you because you're going to need this knowledge. I'm not going to live forever. Why should I keep it all to myself? Now, I hope that sort of wraps up what I was saying about new emerging technologies and psionics, how our relationship works with these technologies. See, a lot of people think in too technical of terms. For instance, I have some people contact me and say, well, if I do as you do and plug my helmet cable into a smartphone audio jack, do I have to turn the volume up or have some application running, working through that electrical port in order to interface with my phone via my helmet to do certain things, which I've talked about this before. Like you can ride along social networks and Twitter, just plug your helmet or headband into your phone, open up Twitter, and then put your phone on the table and then lean back and relax and do your meditation. You'll pick up all manner of thoughts, even some precognitive abilities. And the more you do this, the better you get at it. Well, people think too technically about it, that there has to be some degree of electricity moving this way or that way to make it work. Well, it doesn't work via electricity. And I understand the misconception about that because early radionics pioneers were indeed men of science, and so they thought scientifically, but what they didn't realize is that they had stumbled onto an area of the occult and magic. In my philosophy, somewhere beyond our ability to measure and quantify is the infinite chaos. All hidden occult groups and elite people in the world have some inkling or grasp as to what I'm speaking of. It's just that the rest of us aren't really keen on it. You know, we live in this little bubble of Mr. Science says, ABC, 1, 2, 3, black and white. What you're told, so you shall think. And I'm here to expand your mind, to let you know that I look at it from the world of the Aborigine. We're all just learning how to survive in infinity. As author Michael Talbot put it so elegantly in his book, The Holographic Universe, and other great authors, Biofeedback, and Robert B. Stone's excellent book, The Magic of Psychotronic Power. I mean, these guys are pioneers in new thought and understanding the world outside of the box. Some people argue, well, you know, we believe the world is flat. We, no, it's round, you know, round, flat, well, I'll tell you this. I had a guest on, Dr. Miller, who made a very good point that the world could be flat and still be round because space is curved. In my necromancy practices, in my book Psionic Necromancy, I wrote about my communion with the late Nikola Tesla. And I so desperately wanted to know the secrets of electricity and how this ever got confused with something like radionics and psionics, you know. How did the science, you know, get in there where we're not really dealing with an actual science, we're dealing with more of an art here. How did that happen? And the answer that came to me, I mean, it was just brilliant, was a flashing image of a chalkboard with equations. And there was one simple equation, a formula. I remembered it, so I looked up some formulas on Google, and there it was. The answer is that all things begin with the thought, with the and the pattern. It is the equation on the chalkboard that is the thing. We only experience in this world the manifestation of those things. So, well, it could also be described in the same way of, as a priest once lectured at a funeral I went to. I believe it was my grandfather's funeral. And he said, we don't really understand the good Lord's plan, but try to think of it as a tapestry. And we're looking at that tapestry in this physical world from the backside. And so we just see all these chaotic knots, and it just looks like a fractal. But on the other side, where God is seated, is a beautiful, beautiful tapestry, a beautiful picture. And then it all makes sense. I believe that psionics and magic does have a significant benefit to humanity and human thought, as much as religion or spirituality, as much as science and technology and the other arts. It's all very meaningful, and we should have an open mind to consider all directions of thought. And I believe we're headed there now, which now brings me to the topic of tonight's podcast, the psionic endgame. All right, so everyone is really worried right now. Particularly, I'm going to speak about those of us in the United States. Thousands evicted in Nevada. Millions of people just dumped into poverty. We see Silicon Valley leaving. That tech industry is heavily supported by the Democrat Party, but yet they're leaving for the Republican area of Texas. So I've been told. All right, I might be incorrect there, but a lot of information is coming out real fast. So let's take our time and watch and observe, and I will correct myself if I'm mistaken. In future upcoming podcasts, we'll follow up on that. I want to cut a long story short here, but it's difficult to decide how much to say, in what way to describe this. And I'm trying to be as honest and just straightforward as possible. It's not difficult for me to do. I actually come into contact with a lot of people who are not so honest. And that's unfortunate, because it makes the work that I do much more difficult. Of course, if everyone in the world believed me 110%, I might find myself in the crosshairs of a rifle. But I assure you, my intentions are not not to destroy. Rather, I have hope, and I want to share that with you now. That's what this endgame's about. People hear the word endgame, and they instantly think of Alex Jones, InfoWars. I understand. That's not what I'm talking about. The real endgame I'm talking about, carrying over from my previous podcast episode, is the end of the old bureaucratic, politico-dramatic system. And the new players coming on board with actual solutions. So, I foresee, without giving all the details, I foresee a day coming where people from families, I just all these visions fill my head I was meditating and I had these visions coming to me. Young man in India, family ravished, father alcoholic, and problems in the family, but somehow he's made it. He's established a business. His children grow up to be doctors. Not only doctors, they're now philanthropists. They're not just out there to make money. Yes, they do want to live well, but they're not doing it just for money's sake. They want to make a difference in the world. And there's so much hope opening up. And we're not seeing it because our minds are clouded by the politico theater. We're not seeing the real hope here. I see that millennials are getting, in some corners of the earth, they're getting this bad name. And old generations get the blame dumped on them. I understand that. But now I see hope there. I do see someone racing ahead of the horse race here, where they can set up traps for the horses they don't want to win to break their legs. That metaphor is coming from the cosmical into my mind right now. Someone hedging onto the Gen Z to try to alter the outcome, to ensnare us again, so that we don't make it out of the matrix, out of this web of synchronicity. I see that. The same players who've played the bureaucrat game, the politicians brokering politics to very, very wealthy people want to seize control. They want to buy into the technical system as well. But there's a rise of millennials who are not going to let that happen, because they're going to say this. The devil's going to come to them, and I'm not talking about the Christian devil. I mean this metaphorically, because the cosmos speaks in imagery and metaphors. Devil's going to come, and he's going to say, I'm going to give you millions. No, hey, how about billions of dollars? I want you to let me in on this cryptocurrency. I want you to let me in on your new technology, and I want to buy it. And it's not going to work. The old so-called deep state and the game players, the money changers that people so falsely call the banksters, or it's really money changers, they're not going to have buying power if we have a generation of people who say, I don't want your money. I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this for my planet and for humanity, and I don't want your money. So you can take that, put it somewhere else. That's really the beginning of the end game. And that's what changes us for this future, where we're going to have a Star Trek generation. And things are going to get a whole lot better. That's the choice that those of you now who have become technical managers, doctors, engineers, scientists, lawyers, in very strategic positions in the world right now, biologists, basically, you are the new technocrats of the future. And the future is going to be decided by you, and you're going to be tested. And you're going to have to make that choice to refuse greed. And if you do well, come out of this heroically, as you know, not to be champions, but to share alike the result of freeing humanity from an old system, then you're going to be the heroes of the future. You're going to be the hero of your own story. I believe that phrase, and I should give credit where credit's due, that phrase was first used by Rich Sheffrin. Be the hero of your own story. And so now is your time to do that. This is a psionic endgame. So if you're using psionics and you want to influence the world, tune into the planet Earth and ask for help and push the issues that you think are really important. And I think enough people are sensitive out there, sensitive enough, that they will pick up on what you're transmitting, and they're going to do their best to change the world for the better. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic. Well, call it a new improvement, maybe. But we all have a spirit, we all have a soul. This is mine. So good luck, you know. And if any of my books can help us reach this goal, I think my knowledge can, and my experiences, combined with your practices, there you have wisdom, or you shall attain wisdom in the process of your journey. You can't buy wisdom. Or if my club can help you, then please indulge. Of course, you must understand that those who have always been in power also realize the potential for change and the potential for powers to shift in the world. I believe that we will eventually accomplish what is known, or what will be known, as self-sovereignty, or individual self-sovereignty. And we will have a very international world, and there will no longer be any need or desire to have these borders between us. And I think that's really always been the real problem. It's always about walls. But with those of us who have the vision, we can see through it. Thank you for joining me tonight on Planet Verloc. And until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Verloc, signing out.